Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of equity and access. Thanks for listening to us today. We have a wonderful show. We're going to celebrate along with the National Council for the Social Studies their 100th anniversary celebration, which they're calling Democracy Ready. Okay, and it's going to be a good conversation with Larry Pasca, who is their executive director, and our good friend who hasn't been here for a while, Stephanie Wager, who's their past president and is the 100th anniversary celebration chair for NCSS, and it's ncss.org if you want to go over and check all this out, the 100th anniversary of the National Council for the Social Studies. So it's really, really cool, and I'm looking forward to the show. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our Consortium for Equity and our magazine, Equity and Access, which is a wonderful magazine. It's an online journal, and I hope you take a minute to flip through it. The icon of the cover is right there on site at ace-ed.org, and you just click through on there, and it goes to full screen, and you can read what's really a wonderful magazine. All of our podcasts like this one are over there as well. And there's a link to our new website, which is seltoday.org, Social Emotional Learning. So we're hot and heavy as this new year begins, getting all kinds of stuff done. We hope you check out what we do. You can find everything at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, okay, here's Larry Pasca and Stephanie Wager, ladies first. Stephanie, welcome back.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. It is indeed. What are you up to these days?
Oh, trying to stay warm. And we're just busy getting ready for this conference.
And what are you doing when you're not getting ready for the conference?
I work at the American Institute for Research and doing a lot of national social studies work as well. So social studies all the time.
See, so it was hard to draw that out of you, okay? But I'm glad I did. Okay, welcome back, Steph. It's great to have you here. Larry,
thank you
Dr. Pasca, you're welcome. How are you today, Larry?
I'm doing well. How are you, Larry?
I'm fine. Did you get a big snowstorm this week like we did yesterday?
The entire Eastern Seaboard, well, and Midwest. What was it? 80 million Americans affected by this, and I have to say, we moved to the D.C. area 5 years ago, and for a while I was totaling up the snow every year, and it was by inches, and now it seems like in this season we've more than like doubled what we've had the first 5 years I was here. So
and up here in Maine, my driveway after it's been plowed looks like an unmaintained ice hockey rink. Okay, it's really bad. It was heavy snow yesterday, literally heavy in terms of 7 inches and heavy in terms it felt like concrete with the rain that was coming down with it. So it was pretty nuts. So I want to get into this 100th anniversary thing. Congratulations. Now you're the executive director. You just want to introduce all this, your 100th anniversary celebration.
Well, we've actually been celebrating for the past year, and culminating event. And this is our culminating event. We're very proud of our tradition of serving educators for an entire century.
Yeah.
Many people may not know this. We were actually founded in Atlantic City, New Jersey, March 3rd, 1921. A group of educators came together and said, we need an organization that really looks at all of the social studies together, that it's not just about history or geography or political science, but it's all taken together.
Boardwalk Empire, if I may.
Boardwalk Empire at the time. I don't know. I watched that series. I never saw a meeting of educators kind of taking place in the side or the background, so I don't know if it was there. But we were founded then, and over the past century, we continue to expand. People may not know this about us. We actually were originally connected with the American Historical Association, and then we were called the Department of the National Education Association. We actually were structurally tied to the NEA until the 1960s. That's the time at which a lot of content organizations like ours, which were part of groups like NEA, broke off and became fully independent nonprofit organizations of their own. So it was really around our halfway mark, if you will, that we kind of had our own independent identity. But we've always been connected with other education organizations, and that's why I think collaboration is such a vital part of who we are. But it is a fascinating history. It's one of the things I love to talk about is looking back at our past publications and see the thought leadership that's happened over a century. And it's been very robust scholarship overall.
And you know, I'm going to ask you a question since you brought that up, okay? As you look at the past publications and all the things that happened in the past, and we look at social studies today, what has been there, gone away, and if you think of anything, and then come back? Or what has been there the whole time? However you want to do that, but just if you look at it over the course of 100 years, what's gone, what's come back, what's remained the same? Larry.
Yes. I think the thing that is very cyclical is how we define this subject area, because it does represent, and we've talked about this many times together, social studies is a lot like STEM in the 21st century. It is the organization of many different related disciplines, fields of study together under one umbrella. So when we talk about STEM education, we're talking about, you know, chemistry, biology, physics, all these together. Well, social science is the same. We're talking history, geography, economics, civics, political science, anthropology, philosophy, sociology, psychology. I always offend when I leave one off, but we're talking about all of these disciplines together in one umbrella. And for our entire century of being, we've had a lot of scholarship discussing and debating the best approaches for social education. And certain trends come back and forth. How do we ensure that, how do we ensure that students are prepared meaningfully for civic life? It's kind of the overarching umbrella of social education. And that's why this conference theme, to me, both professionally and personally, is so relevant and resonates, because I think at our heart, what we describe in 100 years of meetings and scholarship and members being active and advocating for social studies is the fundamental purpose of social education is to prepare all students to be ready for democracy, ready for active participation in civic life. So our theme is the 100-year trend line, and also well positioning us for the next 100 years, because we need to recommit to what it means to have students truly ready to take the reins and be active in life and in our society.
Yeah, perhaps the tagline should be civics plus everything else.
Well, and this is another question, too, is what does civic literacy mean? So how do we ensure that, you know, is civics its own form of literacy, its own form of thinking and reading and writing and approaching the world? So again, I think that's really what our 100 years so far has shown us, is that we have constantly tried to understand what it means to make students democracy ready, to help educators be prepared to teach their kids. What are the best resources they use? What is the best scholarship they use? What are the best ways to advocate for our work? And so I think that's what this is both a celebration of and a looking forward to in the future, is where do we take our association? Where do educators take themselves from here?
And Larry, this day, and go ahead, Steph, go ahead. Yes.
By the way, Steph,
I'm going to push that. Civics plus everything else. Be my guest, Steph.
that's good. No, I was just going to add, I mean, I think another kind of through line about the 100 years, which may be surprising, but just from my vantage point, is sort of the controversial pieces about social studies, or what some people would think of as controversial. And I say that mainly because I think, you know, some people view controversy as a bad thing, but I think in social studies we have to view it as normal and a good thing. And so, you know, a lot of just in the current climate, I think a lot of teachers I talk to, not understanding the history, they think about this as a new phenomenon, but it really isn't.
Really,
if you look back at 100 years, even, you know, one of our members stumbled upon a document from 1951 where we were, you know, giving sort of guidance about academic freedom and, you know, things, principles to sort of follow when talking about controversial issues. So this has been, you know, also a through line throughout our history. And I think the nature of social studies is that, and the nature of our democracy, right, is that controversy and sort of discourse about issues is important. For a healthy
and to a certain extent, disruption is as well. Okay, if you look at the history of the country, there's been a lot of disrupting factors in there that we tend to work our way through. There's a flexibility built into the system. that people have to understand it. And your point is well taken. You know, it's interesting that history teachers are assuming it's always like it is now, or there's a new thing as opposed to looking at the historical record. That's kind of funny when you think about it, and ironic. You know, but the point of the matter is there's a big history in here. And social studies, I think more obviously than any other subject, reflects the country. It really does reflect the country.
Absolutely.
You have to go back on all this sort of thing. It's just really, really interesting. So all that, oh, Madam 100th Anniversary Celebration Chair, okay, what's going on for the celebration? Let's hear, Steph.
Well, I mean, Larry and I always talk about this. It's such an amazing lineup for the conference. First, we have Justice Sonia Sotomayor talking and sort of unpacking our theme, right? Democracy Ready. What does that mean? And we've really tried to be strategic and purposeful about the speakers that we have and how each of them can kind of touch on that theme. We have former education secretaries, Department of Education secretaries, to talk about, you know, from the policy side, what should that look like. We have a Holocaust survivor, just lots of amazing. We have Ibram Kendi to talk about from an equity and racial literacy perspective, you know, what does Democracy Ready look like? So I am super, super excited. Even, you know, like I was talking to just a random friend of mine, and they were thinking, you know, can I register for the conference? Because such a great and kind of varied lineup. That almost anybody could find, you know, something that they're really interested in that lineup. So we're really excited about it. Larry, anything to add?
Well, I would say, you know, I want to get back to the comment you made actually a moment ago, Stephanie, about controversy. And there actually were courses over the past 100 years, like Problems of American Democracy and titles like this, where really the whole purpose of social education, as you described, was what are the issues we need to solve? How do we go about solving them? How do we provide you with the critical thinking skills to do that? And so I think it is important for everyone to be reminded that this is what we thrive with best in social studies, is we look at controversy, we look at issues that challenge our society, and we teach students how to basically be armed with the tools to solve these for themselves as they go out in the world. And so part of what our celebration is also looking at in the programming is what has that looked like for us over the past 100 years. We do invite everyone to go to our website, socialstudies.org/NCSS100, and explore the different sessions we have. Some of the things we're doing in our 100-year look back is we're actually bringing back several of the members and leaders of our association to reflect on how has scholarship changed over 100 years. How has leadership and connecting as members and educators changed over the years? We are bringing, people who have edited our journals, people who have led our organization from the 1980s to the present, together just for these different focused conversations each evening about not just NCSS and its impact, but social studies and its impact. And then throughout the weekend, we're bringing three former U.S. Secretaries of Education together for a special panel on really how they've looked at federal policy and the impact on civic learning and engagement that they've experienced over the years and the future direction they see for civic learning. Many of you who are listening hopefully are aware of the Educating for American Democracy roadmap. We're putting together a whole strand of sessions unpacking that roadmap, how it connects with social studies, curricula, and standards in your communities. And we have different sessions, everything from what is the roadmap to how does the roadmap foster disciplinary literacy, to what are strategies to teach using the guiding principles and design questions of the roadmap. So I'm excited to share that with you. And then again, this is unusual for us. The reason we're doing this second conference is because for us, professional learning, we're seeing this more and more, that professional learning is so vital to the strength of our schools, now more than ever, especially at this time. And so we just feel that it's so important to provide more and more opportunities for educators to come together to talk social studies, to talk about the impact that the current school climate and situations happening around the country, how they're impacting the classroom. So I just want to reinforce what Stephanie said, that, yeah, not only has controversy been a through line, but it's often been seen as the solution in teaching and learning. And we'd love to be able to bring that to the forefront as we celebrate moving into our second century.
Yeah, and by the way, I was here the whole time. I had a sneeze for a minute. I turned my mic off, forgot to turn it on. So you guys didn't even hear what I said before. But I apologize for that. And Larry, thank you for filling in the gap there. I realized what was happening when you didn't answer something I asked. And I just wanted to bring up, okay, that February, we forgot to mention this, February 1st through 6th is the virtual conference called Democracy Ready, which is NCSS's 100th anniversary conference. All right? February 1st to the 6th. You can learn everything you need to at socialstudies.org or NCSS.org. All right? And you should go there. And not only should teachers, history teachers, go there or any other social studies subject, but also principals and superintendents, school board members, and wannabe school board members. Check this all out. This is really important, okay? Because there's all kinds of controversy, as we were saying. This will help you put it into perspective. Is that a good suggestion, Stephanie?
Oh, that's a great suggestion, and I appreciate you raising that. I mean, I think one of the things we often talk about in the social studies space, you know, is, as Larry, the other Larry brought up STEM. Lots of discussions in schools right
Hooray
now.
Hooray for the other Larry.
What?
Hooray for the other Larry. That would be Larry.
Yeah, I know.
There's room for two Larrys. I can say that without hesitation.
There is.
This town is big enough for two Larrys, so go ahead.
So I think, you know, there's so much discussion around, you know, college career readiness for STEM, and I think we in the social studies field always want to make that connection between there are so many skills that are taught in social studies that also make those connections. And so thinking about the theme of Democracy Ready, you know, employers all the time, you know, want employees that can talk about issues, that can work with others, you know, that have these sort of quote unquote soft skills. And the social studies bring so much of that to the table.
Yes,
and so your comment about, you know, school board and principals, I mean, that is spot on, that we want more administrators to really engage in why social studies is important and what that, you know, does to help you know, students in their own districts or contexts. So thank you for bringing that up.
My pleasure. And I want to ask you something else while I'm both here. And I don't know if you're going to talk about this because Democracy Ready isn't exactly under this theme, but teacher shortages these days are very bad. And social studies has taken a lot of heat out there, and a lot of people are not becoming social studies teachers. They're not becoming teachers, let alone social studies teachers. And I'm just curious, and I'll ask Steph, you can start with this one if you want, or pass it over to Larry. Are we going to touch on how to create more teachers, social, in this case, social studies teachers? Steph.
I mean, I wouldn't say that is, you know, a core part of the conference, but it is certainly something that we talk about a lot in, you know, in NCSS, and I think in general in, you know, sort of state departments of education around, you know, how to maintain the workforce. I do think that a lot of, I mean, I don't think there's an exodus of just social studies teachers, but I think in general, social studies teachers are feeling sort of pressure maybe more than other teachers, you know.
Yeah.
And it's becoming very difficult, you know, to feel that you can, just what we talked about earlier about controversy, again, the nature of social studies is to have these sort of tough conversations and help students understand the importance of that. And so if you're trying to do that, but you're at the same time getting, you know, pressure to sort of not talk about, you know, the Capitol insurrection or any other kind of issue, then it's hard to do your job. And I think that is a real issue that I hope is something that's on the minds of, you know, administrators and other decision makers about how to make that how to make that pressure less so.
Exactly. And the reason I'm concerned, you know, we call this Democracy Ready. But social studies teachers are in the forward troops of getting kids ready to be good citizens, okay? And if it's taught properly, all right, I'm not talking about politics here. I'm talking about civics and what our government does and all that, Okay, mm-hmm. It's very important that we as social studies educators, which I was, take the lead on this. Okay,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of what we're going through right now, I honestly believe, I hate to call it a failure, but I'll do it for the sake of this conversation. It's a failure in education's part to really push mm-hmm. how important civics and understanding the government and what to do is. Okay, you don't have to have a rebellion to make something work. Okay, you don't have an insurrection or that. And go ahead, Steph. You got my point.
Well, I was just going to say, I think one of the things that we sort of missed in education, and I say this having taught abroad for a year, most of the rest of the world, I'm generalizing here, but there's a general idea in education that exposure to something does not equal indoctrination in a lot of other parts
exactly.
of the world
yeah.
that I
yeah.
have been in. And I think we have done a bad job, kind of in education broadly here, making that distinction, that talking about an issue that might be uncomfortable does not mean, that you're going to somehow
to
the other side or, and that is just the nature of being an engaged citizen, to sort of dig into these issues and talk about them. And so that, I think, is another piece that we really have to consider, not just in social studies, but broadly,
right.
How do we get to the point where, parents and other stakeholders are really advocating that we should be talking and digging into some of these really complex issues, because the people that say, social studies is supposed to be the easy class, those folks are the ones that I don't think they really understand what it is. Because it really should be the most complicated class, right? If the
exactly.
world, if it was easy, the world would be perfect.
Right. Well, we learned that lesson. We learned that lesson.
Right.
If you push it under the rug, it's not working out too good. All that said,
exactly.
So right, Steph.
Larry,
go ahead, Larry. You want to say something? Go ahead, Larry Pascoe.
Yeah, I just want to throw something in there too. So we're actually a supporting partner with the American Association of School Personnel Administrators on an upcoming conference they're having. And it's called the National Educator Shortage Summit. It's going to be next month in the Orlando area. And it's really, it's a lot of organizations like ours, a few other teacher membership organizations, a few other administrator organizations. We're getting together to just have a conversation for a couple of days. And AASPA, that's the association that's leading this effort, it's really just to focus on this critical issue of how do we ensure that the pipeline for educator preparation for the teaching workforce remains strong. Much to Stephanie's point, when you look at education around the world is focused on exactly what Democracy Ready is speaking to. And at a time when it's so vital to have a strong teaching workforce, and it's both how you get people in the door initially, how you keep them engaged, and how you make teaching in the public eye, the urgent, professional, just absolutely needed profession that it is.
Yeah.
How you keep that elevated, that really becomes important. So I just wanted to share with you and all the listeners that many organizations right now are focused on this issue, like ours. And what we are wanting to make sure right now is that despite what seems to be this public discussion about, discussion may be a soft word to use, there does appear to be just this constant push against educators about what are they doing in the classroom? How can this be? The simple answer is teaching is what it's always been, and it's a vital profession, and we just want to make sure that people who are out there deciding on a career, if their heart says, I want to be a teacher, if their passion is, I just want to be in front of students, that you not only need to be supported, but that many organizations like ours are advocating for you. We want you to be successful, and we don't want you to think about other career prospects if this is the one that you've chosen. I don't know about you. I starting in fifth grade, I just knew I wanted to be a teacher. It was no question in my mind. This is what I was going to do. I didn't look back once. And how do we help people who are like that? Like they're just saying, this is my passion. How do we help them be successful rather than see the teaching profession as, I'm not sure, it's getting a lot of attacks in the media. Maybe this isn't what I want to do. Like, no, we need you more than ever. And how do we support you? And this is part of what NCSS and other organizations are fighting for is how do we help support the professional goals, the professional learning needs, and the professionalism of this profession. I keep using that word because at the end of the day, teaching is all, I mean, it's, you are trained as a teacher. You're, no one has ever just thrown, I mean, sometimes you can, I guess, be thrown in a classroom.
They're doing that now. But as I always say, if the kids aren't learning, you're not teaching. Okay? They have a lot of people just sitting there watching the kids.
We advocate for rigorous standards for preparing teachers. We advocate for rigorous professional learning, the opportunity for teachers to get better, the opportunity for them to connect with each other, share, learn, and grow. So again, just to let your listeners know that it is a part of the national conversation now about how we ensure that there is a strong pipeline for teachers and that they have the support they need to be successful, especially at a time when it may feel like they're not.
I couldn't agree with you more. What else are you doing besides the virtual conference, Steph? What else is happening? Beyond, is there anything happening?
I'm going to pass that to Larry.
Toss that to the boss. Go ahead. Larry, what else is planned besides the actual conference? Okay, what other ways have you been celebrating the centennial?
Well, we just came off of, as you know, our 101st annual conference, which is very successful, and also, again, part of our overall centennial programming. We've been looking at, you know, just like everyone else, we've been looking at how we can offer more virtual programming for educators. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a lot of fatigue sometimes being online, but we've also found that being able to offer more webinars throughout the year, we've been expanding the types of programs we've been offering. We've been expanding our focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion based programming. All of this just is to say that we are able to produce more content more quickly in a virtual world. But we're also getting ready to be back in person. So our 102nd annual conference will be in Philadelphia in early December.
Oh.
We're looking forward to that. I think our long-term goal is just how do we diversify programming so that we can offer things in person for educators. We can also offer things online. We can be responsive in real time to current events and emerging issues. So I think you're seeing more of that programming, and that's kind of our focus as well. And I think in the coming year, again, how do we offer more nimble, responsive online and in-person content for our educators?
So your next in-person conference is in December next year, or this year actually, 2022. Okay, am I correct? In Philly.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is my hometown. If I can be there, I will be there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So do we get tours of your birthplace? And do we get any?
It's a beautiful site, my birthplace, so in West Philly.
Okay.
You've probably heard of it. Okay. It's on every tour there. All right. And,
okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
We'll connect you with our meetings team, and maybe we can do a special homestead.
Oh, if I'm there, we'll do a special thing. Don't worry about that. Okay. And I hope we can be hopefully this pandemic is long behind us and we'll all be healthy and ready to boogie out there. Okay. It's going to be great. I think this is wonderful. House registration coming for the conference again, coming up pretty soon on February 1st through the 6th. Okay. How's registration looking right now? Steph.
It's good, and we can, and Larry can speak more to this, but I think we have a pretty cool thing we're doing for those who teach our free service students. So I don't know, Larry, if you want to talk about that.
Absolutely, yeah. We're really proud of this. So essentially, if you teach a methods class or more, or if you're a full-time methods professor, register for the conference, and your pre-service teachers get in for free. And we're also offering a five-month trial membership with this. This is our way of giving back and saying we want to bring the next generation of educators directly to NCSS. We hope that they get to experience all the wonderful things that their professors have experienced over the years with us. So it is a special offer we've announced to our list last week. And we would, again, encourage that if you're a methods professor in our network, please register and please share this experience with your students. We think that this is a great way to invest in their professional growth right at a critical time for them.
Absolutely. And also, if I may, I'll say what I said before. I go after school board members, make them understand how important social studies is. Okay? Get them to Philly. Get them to the virtual conference. Okay? And make them understand how important social studies is and that all this crap on the internet is not accurate. We got great teachers out there doing great things in social studies. Yeah.
What's really fascinating, I spoke to school board members several years ago, and it struck me most of the people in the room I was talking to were actually either current or former social studies teachers.
Oh, that's interesting.
So one of the things our conversation our conversation turned into is, how do you use your professional background to advocate for this subject? So when you have that hot mic at a school board meeting, maybe ask the question of, hey, could we find out a little bit more about our social studies program? And but again, don't start from a deficit model. Don't start from a what's not working. Start from a model of, I'd like to learn more about our program and how we can help kids be successful in it and how we can help teachers be successful in it. That lead from that as the question. It may not make, you know, it may not make an exciting tweet, but what it does is it sets the conversation that my board cares about social studies and they want to know what they can do to help.
My board cares about democracy, and we make better citizens with good social studies teachers. You guys are great. I know you're doing a great job, and I wish you the best of luck with the new conference coming up February 1st to the 6th. Democracy Ready. Steph, welcome back. We'll do more together, I hope.
Thank you so much. It was great to be with you. I hope so.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Have a great one.
And Lara, as always, I will see you soon. I'll talk to you again soon. Okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
again.
Buddy. Oh, I appreciate everything you guys do. Good luck with everything. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Larry Paska, everybody, and Stephanie Wager. Sorry, Larry, cut you off. You were saying goodbye, and I appreciate that. Larry Paska, the Executive Director, National Council for the Social Studies. Stephanie Wager, their past president and running the 100th anniversary. And go over to, it's pretty prominent, go over to ncss.org or socialstudies.org, and it's all there for the virtual conference, Democracy Ready. Happy anniversary to them. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Go over there, see what we do. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.